Blog Talk Radio.
The Anthony Johnson Show starts now. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to this edition of the Anthony Johnson Show for April 8th, 2017. It's good to be back. I didn't do a show last week. Lots of events and lots of things that's going on. And it's amazing, like, what a difference a week makes in the world and in this country. Absolutely amazing. One thing that we keep, you know, that you can almost guarantee that when a Republican president is in office, you can rest assured that the goal, one of their top priorities is to have a war, to engage in war, to have a war with somebody. It's almost like, it's almost by design. Defense companies, contractors, the goal is to always get a Republican in the presidency. They're not going to do much of anything. They're not going to do pretty much nothing for America, for Americans, you know, to improve the quality of life in this country, but they're damn good at starting wars and making that small group of greedy, shady, shiesty bastards a boatload of money, you know. And that's what we're looking at now. Our country has an insatiable appetite for war. Now, people have, I posted something early in the week, you know, and, you know, some people, you know, felt like I was criticizing Donald Trump, a.k.a. the imbecile in chief, and giving former President Obama a pass when I talked about, you know, war is coming. And, you know, I wanted to make that, I thought I was very clear. There was a difference. Listen, and you'll hear me most likely say it again before the end of this telecast this evening. You know, America has been fighting quiet wars since shortly after the American Revolutionary War, period. So when, you know, was Obama engaging in bombings and stuff like that? Of course he was. You can't think of a president ever who didn't engage in that behavior. What I'm talking about is full-scale war. We saw that with George W. Bush. You want to believe that you're getting away from that. You know, the current president ran on a campaign of fixing a large number of issues in America. Domestic policies, real simple. Domestic policies, that's what he ran on. And he didn't run on that. Listen, this man ran on hate. You guys know the rest of it. Yeah, I talk about this every time I mention him. You know what he ran on. But in his hate speech, his hate platform of black people and Muslims and gays and lesbians, transgender, senior citizens, women, you know, he would use like those type of coded words about addressing the social economic dichotomy in this country. And, you know, I mean, he's been there a little more than, what, close to 100 days or 100 days, and he's done nothing. I mean, his approval ratings are 34-35%. There are individuals who prefer to masturbate but are afraid to ejaculate because they feel like their dead relative might be watching him. Those approval ratings are higher than this current administration. But back to what I was saying about this insatiable appetite. Why? Why do we keep doing it? Why do we keep fighting foolish wars? You know, and you'll hear the media get all highfalutin and idiotic what the reasons, but let's be real simple here. I want to keep it real basic, ladies and gentlemen. I have five reasons why we do it. Number one is because we can. That's the most obvious reason why the United States keep doing these idiotic things. It's a fact in that it has we have a remarkably powerful military. So the current imbecile in chief says that he wanted to cut everything, every safety net that's out there, everything, because he wants to get about $54 billion to put towards the military, right? We already have the most powerful military on the planet. And remember, one thing what he said was that we lose wars. This is what he said. He said, we lose wars. And he believes that by taking money out of the mouths of people living in impoverished communities, senior citizens, homeless veterans, education and the arts in this country, he believes that if he takes that money and put it in the military, all of a sudden we're going to start winning a lot more wars. You see, that was the smoking gun right there. When a president comes out and says, I want to cut everything so I can put money towards, you know, building our military, yeah, that's the red herring. That's when you're supposed to jump up and say, whoa, 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 wait a minute, you didn't run on this. You know, for the 62 million who voted for Donald Trump are like, hey, you didn't talk about this when you campaigned. You were talking about the things like we voted for you for, hate and bigotry and Islamophobic, xenophobic, homophobic, misogyny. That's what we voted for you for. We ain't vote for you to defund A, B, C, D, E, F, G to build up a military. How dare you trick us? So that's number one. Number two is the U.S. has no serious enemies. And some of you might be like, well, wait a minute. What? No, America really does not have serious enemies. The second factor that permits the United States to keep waging these optional wars is the fact that in the end of the Cold War, it left the United States in a remarkably safe position. After the Cold War, it left us in a great position. Because right after the Cold War, we continue to build and build and build and build and build our military to the point where the top eight superpowers in the world combined military is not more powerful than America. There are no great powers in the Western Hemisphere. We have no peer competitor anywhere. Although China may become one sooner if we keep squandering power foolishly, you know, I give China another 5 years, and then they will most likely be the most powerful, if not the most powerful, equally. And there's no country anywhere that that could entertain the idea of attacking America without inviting its own demise. Number three, ladies and gentlemen, the all-volunteer force. Our addiction to adventurism is the all-volunteer force. By limiting military service only to those individuals who volunteer to it, public opposition to wars of choice is more easily contained. Could Bush or Obama have kept the Iraq and Afghanistan wars going if most young Americans had to register for a draft? And if the sons and daughters of Wall Street bankers were being sent in harm's way because they got an unlucky number in the draft? I doubt that very much. Yes. And I'm not saying that the all-volunteer force is a bad idea and that it should be, you know, chucked away, as there are a number of good arguments in its favor. Nonetheless, the all-volunteer force is one of those features of the contemporary U.S. national security order that makes the frequent resort to force politically feasible. Number four, it's the establishment, stupid. A fourth reason why we keep meddling all over the world is the fact that the foreign policy establishment is hardwired in favor of doing something. Foreign policy thinking in Washington is dominated by either neoconservatives who openly proclaim the need to export liberty and never met a war they didn't like, or by liberal interventionists, who are just as enthusiastic about using military power to solve problems, provided they can engineer some sort of multilateral cover for it. That's one that really stands out to me, and that's always been probably should be the top reason why we're always engaged in war. These neoconservatives, as well as these interventionists, but particularly the neoconservatives, they are always looking to start a war. They always, you know, we need to spread liberty. We barely have liberty here in America. And that's why the goal, the mission is foolhardy. Even those who, American soldiers who fight, are looking at that in a way that says, you know, we're hypocrites. We're going into this country. You talk to a lot of veterans in this country, and I'll tell you that. We go into other countries talking about, you know, bringing them democracy and liberty and peace. And, you know, when I'm back, you know, as a black man, you know, when I'm home, there's certain places, there's certain communities that won't even let me move into in 2017. So it's the hypocrisy of all this, but it doesn't stop warmongers. It doesn't stop them from their objective. Next, number five, Congress is checked out. Congress is checked out. I had posted something about Donald Trump, you know, saying, I mean, he didn't say that. I was just using it as a joke. I was like, my statement was, Donald Trump was like, Congress, I don't need no stinking Congress to drop bombs in Syria, which you actually do. But Congress has actually checked out. The authority to declare war is given to Congress, not the president. The president can go to Congress and say, hey, you know, when Pearl Harbor was bombed, even when that happened, there were individuals, there were senators and congressional elected officials were like, I don't think we need to go to war. I think we need to hit them with some sanctions. I need to think we need to do A, B, C, D, E, F, G. You know, but convince me. And, you know, well, you know, Roosevelt went and said, well, damn, how much convincing do I need? Do I need to call Hirohito in Japan and say, can you drop a couple of bombs on the houses of some of these senators in here? Because clearly they're not willing to declare war on you after we witnessed such a horrific cowardly act that you guys just performed. But that authority has been steadily usurped ever since World War II. Although the Constitution could not be clear at this point, modern presidents clearly feel no constraints about ordering U.S. forces to attack other countries, i.e. what we just saw on the 6th of April 2017, when Donald Trump green-lighted military forces to drop 60 Tomahawks in Syria because of what this coward Assad is doing to his people. Poison gas, killing men, women, and little children. Children! But guess what, ladies and gentlemen? I know you might be saying, well, damn, Anthony, I mean, in a situation like that, you know, I understand. I feel. No, they're still... Because if you give him that green light to do this, then what happens is you open up that Pandora's box. And Donald Trump is that type of individual that's basically saying, his act is saying, you know, we're going to war, and Congress can't stop me. And unfortunately, Congress is controlled by Republicans, and they're willing to give him a free hand. If President Obama had done this, had performed this very act, they would have been crying impeachment. The media would have been running the story 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Now, as I said earlier, President Obama, George Bush, Clinton, George H.W. Bush, Reagan, Carter, Ford, Nixon, Kennedy. I mean, sorry, Johnson Kennedy. Okay? Did these guys engage in quiet wars? Absolutely, quiet bombings. You can't really call them quiet bombings because the media will report them. But at the same time, America's just like, hey, we know what we need to do. So, yes, they do it all the time. But when you want to go full-scale war, boots on the ground, the whole enchilada, you must get Congress approval. And again, modern presidents clearly feel that there are no that feel no constraints about ordering U.S. forces to attack other countries, or even to fully inform Congress as to what we might be doing in secret. In practice, therefore, the vaulted system of checks and balances supposedly enshrined in our Constitution simply doesn't operate anymore, which means that the use of America's military power has been left solely to the president and a handful of ambitious, myopic imbeciles of advisors. It's amazing that we have so many people in this country who are elected officials and they've never read the Constitution. They've never read the Constitution. That's why you see so many of these elected officials say a lot of stupid and idiotic things, and we're scratching our head like, oh my goodness, that's in the Constitution. I learned that in fifth grade. I learned that in seventh grade. I learned that in 10th grade. And you elect these individuals, and they don't even know anything about the Constitution. So this is why some of the reasons, ladies and gentlemen, we have such an insatiable appetite. Let's move on. The Syrian children play no role in the politics of the Syrian government, and yet they, along with other families, are the first casualties of inhumanity perpetrated by their elected official Assad. But as I said early on, America isn't innocent. Blood is on their hands as well. When people are willing to kill children with impunity, I believe that they forfeit their existence to live. I don't want a war in this country. I don't want to see America in another war. I'm sick and tired of it. And the bottom line is that we, you know, Theodore Roosevelt said, you know, we are the police. This is what he said, you know, back in 1905, 1908, that we were the police of the world. I can completely disagree with that statement of Theodore Roosevelt, President Theodore Roosevelt, because since then, other nations, our allies, hold us. They sit back and wait for us. Are we not sick and tired of sending our sons and our daughters now to war to fight and die? As I said, you're going to fight and die to bring a country liberty and freedom and all these other things where you're not really getting it here in America. Can you imagine sending men, young men and young women from Flint, Michigan to go fight? We want you to go and fight in Syria and bring freedom and justice and equality. So we can't even get a damn drink of good, clean water. And you want us to go, you know, thousands of miles away and go fight for something. Are you serious? The hypocrisy is enormous. But when you don't call them out, what are they going to do? You know, snitch on themselves, rat themselves out? No. It's amazing where we are. In America, these politicians, they gear up to go to war in a foreign land, but refuse to help Americans living, like I said, living in Flint, Michigan. Address America's failing schools, its high rate of poverty, homelessness, and blatant corruption. This country's politicians love war. But why not? I mean, it's not like they're going to send their children to die. And they make a ton of money profiting from war. Ain't that right, Dick Cheney? See, it's a total win-win situation for them. Notice how American politicians have you seen how they only choose countries to war with that will be profitable? Going after Saddam Hussein, even though everybody proved like, okay, this guy is a freaking monster, and somebody should have taken him out a long time ago, But he had nothing to do with 9/11. As a matter of fact, when 9/11 happened and everything went down the way it did, it is said that Saddam Hussein actually called, he actually called the president, George Bush at the time, and said, listen, I know we have our issues. I know we do. But you know, I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't support that. I wouldn't have gotten behind that because it ain't about hurting innocent folk. That's the rumor. Even some of the people that was close to George Bush would later state that, you know, Saddam Hussein had actually called him and said, I'm not a part of that. Word is bond. I'm not a part of that. I mean, if I did something like that, I might as well take credit. I'm not going to hide out and not say anything. I'm going to say, yeah, we did that and we didn't do it. And we don't support bin Laden. You see? But this guy should have been taken out a long time ago. But guess what? He was innocent on that, in that fact about 9/11. And yet, why did we go to war on a lie? Because of his oil. That's why, ladies and gentlemen, guess what? Russia protects Assad in Syria because of the oil. Because of the oil that's over there. I mean, I've had officials look at me like I have three heads when I've reached out to them through letters and emails and phone calls. And in person and said, hey, you know, since you guys are in a military mood and sending, you know, our brave men and women all around the world to fight wars, here's a good war to fight. This one truly is about, fighting against cruelty and inhumane and ethnic cleansing and genocide. Can you send some military support over for the women and children in Somalia who are being murdered and starved into extinction with perfect regularity by warlords? Again, they look at me like I have three heads. No, that's not going to happen. Why? It's about peace. It's about bringing true justice. The attitude to them is what? Now, how does that benefit us? It doesn't benefit you. It benefits humanity. No, that's not going to work for us. See, we're in the business of war, going to war. But we have to get something, in exchange. Currency, money, more power. That's what we want. And for those individuals who went out and voted for Donald Trump, how's it working out for you so far? He's been in office for about 100 days. I've seen rats accomplish more than what Donald Trump has done for this country. I've seen rats accomplish more. And war is coming. Whether you like it or not, war is coming. And for those 62 million, especially the middle class and poor, who thought it intelligent to go and vote for Donald Trump, your sons and daughters will be sent first. See, you knew exactly what you were getting when you voted for Donald Trump. You support his racist, misogyny, homophobic, xenophobic, and warmongering platform. And now, ultimately, he will bring you despair and death. But you know something, ladies and gentlemen? I cannot blame the imbecile in chief. I can't blame him no more than I can blame a dog for drinking out of the toilet. Donald Trump is about as useful as a used condom. But you, the 62 million Americans, should have known better. I mean, it's not like he hid his misguided views of America and the world, and still you voted and support him. So when your children are sent to war, of which many will not return home, don't blame the imbecile in chief. No, don't blame him. And save your tears and your anger. I can speak for millions of Americans. We don't want to see you on television, on the Good Morning Americans and the CNN and the MSNBCs crying and holding pictures of your dead loved ones. You must accept the fact that their death was done by you. Not by him, but by you. The rest of us who went out and did the right thing will not allow you to try to scapegoat. See, we made it clear to you from day one that this individual was not about America. This was all about him and his friends. And you foolishly went out and voted for him. So now you have to deal with the consequences. And sadly, those consequences are going to be dire. War is coming. Every single time we seem to get a Republican in office, we're always on the brink of war or we are engaged in war. Donald Trump tricked you without tricking you. He has made this country awful. He is rolling back the things that President Obama put in place that took 8 years to do. And now he's rolling all these things back. There is no turning back from this. I end this evening's episode of the Anthony Johnson Show with this edition of We Can Be the Outcome. When all is said and done, everything that's going on in America, we have millions of Americans who love to blame Bernie Sanders. Now, people out here are blaming Sanders and his supporters for Republicans going nuclear to confirm Gorsuch to become the next United States Supreme Court Justice. Now, Republicans did something that you never see done. You know, they can't get the 60 votes, but they can do the nuclear vote where they do straight up and down, and he's been confirmed. But Hillary Clinton supporters are blaming Bernie Sanders and his supporters as a result of this. Gorsuch is anti-woman, so Roe v. Wade is most likely on its way out. And, of course, like I said, Bernie Sanders and his supporters are to blame. Wait, what? So let me get this right. Sanders and his supporters are to blame that half Americans didn't vote. Those who actually said that they were going to vote for Secretary Clinton but didn't. And I guess Sanders and his supporters are also to blame that 54% of Caucasian women voted for Trump and Congress. And Sanders and his supporters are also to blame that a large section of people that did vote for Secretary Clinton couldn't be bothered with sticking around long enough to cast votes for congressional seats, which gave the Republican Party total control of the House and Senate, which ensured that Gorsuch would and the imbecile chief's minions all would be confirmed. It's amazing how in America, how so many of us will not be held accountable for our actions. I really didn't realize that Sanders and his supporters were so influential. Good night.